This is KTOL Public Media's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, and we're at about 25 minutes till the top of the hour. Taylor Shea and Mo Longworth are our next guests to talk about Stonewall 50 in general, and also this Saturday's event, this tea and dance. Welcome to the show, you two. It's nice to have you here.
Scott.
All right, so I is this our second in the series of interviews, Mo, to talk about Stonewall 50?
It is. It's a year-long project, so get used to it.
it's tremendous. So this is indeed the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots in New York. In case somebody didn't hear our last interview, remind us what those are.
Well, the most important thing is that the Stonewall riots ended up being the beginning of the LGBTQ rights movement. Up till then, people had been treated miserably, but no one was doing anything. I like to think of it as the reaction to the same words that were spoken that night by, can you say her name, Scott?
Storm de la Laverie?
Yeah.
Something like that.
She was a black African, well, an African-American, French-named from the South, lesbian, drag king. Imagine the vulnerability of all those categories she occupied, and imagine the vulnerability in 1969. And after the police bashed her head in and she had blood dripping down her face in Greenwich Village in New York City in 1969, she hollered, "Will somebody do something?" And people actually came out of their homes, out of their businesses, and drove the police away from her and saved her from further beating. And the police actually had to lock themselves into the Stonewall Inn where they had dragged her from, where she was a performing drag king. And they were the ones then that were blamed for this terrible brutality that was really an enforcement of laws that were in effect at the time. So the reason that this is such a big deal is it's 50 years later, and there still are not equal rights laws protecting LGBTQ people under the laws of our land. Our state does not protect people, and most states do not. And so one of the things at our event on Saturday, Andy Josephson, who has put through legislation for multiple sessions now, his office will be giving an update on that legislation and where we go from here for somebody to do something.
Well, I have a lot of questions about the state of LGBTQ rights in the state. Let's wait on those for just a minute, if I may. Taylor Shea, how did you get involved with this project and why?
I actually met Mo through Sigla, and she brought this idea to the table that just sounded really cool, and like there was a lot of potential to make some connections in the community and really get them involved in the movement. So I just kind of jumped on board with her. She started giving me stuff to do, and here we are.
Taylor has become like the other hand to the project that takes about a million hands. And the community of Juno also really responded just as enthusiastically as Taylor, because immediately when in the global community, when you go online and look up Stonewall 50, what you see is that globally people are responding with doing things in their communities all year long, calling it a million moments of pride globally. And that's what we're trying to do here in Juno. So if you are listening to this broadcast or in the future, if you want to get in touch with us, and we will help you host a Pride Stonewall 50 event in your business or whatever, Taylor can tell you ways you can contact the Stonewall 50 Project, which has really become a thing because Taylor made us a Facebook page and an email and all that.
Yeah, so really the main goal behind the project is to get the community involved, get them to celebrate and remember the Stonewall riots. So we are here as a project to help support that. We want to help businesses put on events. We want to help advertise. We want to help get the word out and volunteer and offer services in that way. So whether it's a business, a nonprofit, an individual, we really want to be that support to help them kind of make this a community-wide movement. So we do have a Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook at Juno's Stonewall 50 Project. And we also have an email address that we can be contacted at. It's stonewall50project@gmail.com.
Okay. What are a few examples of events you've had so far, and what should we look forward to?
Well, I'm going to focus on what to look forward to first because there's so many. I'm afraid we might not be able to go backwards. But this Saturday is the tea and dancing, and Holy Trinity, this is an example of what your group can do. Holy Trinity Church downtown came forward and said they wanted to do an event, and they're famous for their teas that they often do around Valentine's Day. And they decided this year to make it a Stonewall 50 tea and dancing. And I'm actually the coordinator of that for Holy Trinity, and have big thanks to Father Gordon Blue, who can't be here today, but gives us all his support, as well as the vestry at Holy Trinity. And on the same day as the tea dance, on Saturday from 4 to 6:30 is the tea dance, you can then go right to the Sukkot Shalom, Sukkot Shalom over on Cordova, where the Juno Unitarian Fellowship is having a public talk on transgender courage by necessity with a guest speaker they have from out of town who's a prominent speaker in the Juno, in the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship nationwide. And that's at 7 o'clock and it's free. And then the third events happening in February are films at the Gold Town, who's another one of our sponsors is Gold Town. And the congregation Sukkot Shalom is doing gay films on The Cake Maker, 7 o'clock on February 20th, Wednesday night, and again at 4:30 on Saturday, the 23rd.
All right. And I bet you're going to have all of these on the Facebook page.
Yes. Yep. We're going to be highlighting hopefully all of our donors and stuff eventually on the Facebook page, whether they have events or sales or whatever that may be. You can find all that there for sure.
Okay. The state of LGBTQ rights in the state of Alaska, Mo, how are they right now?
If you live in Juneau or in Anchorage, you have protection for your job and your housing, equal protection under the law. If you don't, you do not have protection. So, for instance, what's happened across the country is if someone, now that gay marriage is allowed in every state, every city, by Supreme Court mandate, remember our prior attorney general fought it even after it was mandated and contested the Supreme Court verdict, but was told by the Supreme Court we had to have it. So in some places, if you announce your marriage, say, in the local newspaper, or if you invite friends, you can actually go to work the next day and not have a job because they're allowed to fire you if they do not agree that you should have been married.
Wow.
So it's people think that because we have gay marriage now, everything's hunky-dory. It's not hunky-dory. Also, in 1997, when the state of Alaska rewrote our constitution to discriminate against gay marriage, even since the Supreme Court mandate, they've never rewritten the language. So there still isn't protection in our constitution. It's just happening because they're honoring it. But one of the things that some of the new people in the Supreme Court are trying to do is go back to having marriage be governed by the states. And in our state, we still have now an out-of-date constitution that doesn't represent what we're practicing.
What are some examples in everyday life, say here in Juneau, that members of the LGBTQ community might feel discrimination-wise?
I think that even though, and Taylor, you can chime in on this, even though supposedly we have protections, there's still a bias. particularly, I'd say, the hardest vulnerability right now is for trans people getting acceptance both from the gay community and from the straight community and allies. And it reminds me very much of 20 years ago, how it was for getting acceptance as a gay or bisexual person. So, for example, people do treat people differently, and we do carry biases. Like if you are talking to someone with a woman with really short hair, you might think she's a lesbian when in fact she's not. Do you know what I mean? And then hold certain values or ideas about that person. Maybe that won't be a close friend, or maybe, oh, that would be a good friend for me. It's very subtle, but we all do that. We do it with gender. We do it with looks. You know, we do it based on race. It's very automatic in our being.
Yeah, there's definitely what I've learned as implicit bias. It's something that, you know, we're taught and we learn naturally. It's something that's accepted by society really as a whole. These biases are just present and normal, and so we don't even really realize sometimes that these biases are coming into play. And so that's kind of another goal of the project, really, is to just open these conversations, you know, normalize LGBT culture in the community, celebrate it for what it is, and kind of open people's eyes to some of those biases that exist and how we can, you know, combat those.
And one way we combat them is by, just like you're doing, Scott, put it out in the open and give it transparency. I was at a doctor's appointment this week, and I handed him a copy of the tea dance invitation. And I really did not know what his reaction was going to be. I didn't know if he was an ally. And he said, oh, I'm so glad, because we just watched Anne with an N-E on Netflix, and it gave us a chance, because there were gay characters, for me and my daughters to have the conversation about that's normal to have friends that are gay and lesbian. And so now I'd like to bring them to the Stonewall 50 tea and dancing party so then they can see it in practice.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the actual riots began in the end of June of 1969. Is that
You're
right?
You're correct.
Okay. At the end of this year, and you've just outlined several of the things that you're hoping for, what will make this year a success in your eyes? Or is it already?
The biggest success would be if we had equal rights. I don't know if there's any hope for it in our current administration, nationally or in our state. It saddens me at my age that I've been working for these rights for 30 years probably, and that I may go to my grave without having equality just because I had the happenstance of falling in love with a woman 30 years ago. So, you know, it's just that would be the greatest success. But already the reason I live in Juneau and what feels like a success is, look at the list of our sponsors, Scott. We have two, I want the audience to know, we have too many that we aren't allowed to read them all on the air today. But, you know, people are just – I was at the Women's March 2 weekends ago with a Stonewall 50 table, and Ibin Bailey walked up to me and said, you're having a tea? We want to donate the tea from the Northern Tea House, Mo. Why didn't you ask us? So now he's donating all the tea, he and Maria. And, you know, that's the kind of community I want to live in, where we're all on the same team, or at least there is a big team of us. Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, I would say community involvement is really the key to this project. Just making Juneau a welcoming, safe community and having those conversations and being able to do that in a productive and celebratory way.
And remind us where we can find you online.
Yep, you can find us on Facebook at Juneau's Stonewall 50 Project. And we also have an email address of stonewall50project@gmail.com.
Or we can meet you this Saturday in person at McFeeters Hall at 4 o'clock, right?
That's right. Can I tell you just the lineup for McFeeters?
We can, yeah.
So Jackie Farnsworth is starting on the piano, and then the Juno Pride Chorus is going to do a small set. Then Lynn Davis, a published author, is going to read a Knock Your Socks Off original litany she's written of the history of Stonewall that's a riff off of Maya Angelou's poem. It's really Knock Your Socks Off. I hope she submits it to the New York Times. And then there's going to be three drag artists starting, you know, Stonewall was really started a lot by drag kings, as I mentioned earlier, with Stormé de la Verrie. And so we're having two kings, Luke the Duke and King Key, and then drag queen Diamond de la Gâteau. And so that'll lead us right into dancing with DJ Manu. I should say, though, that if anyone knows Elena Valentine and her delicious baking, she's doing homemade scones and homemade donuts. And then Rainbow Foods is bringing a cheese platter. Lots of volunteers from Holy Trinity are bringing different things. So there'll be food, tea, dancing, and a nice program. It's all free. Donations are being accepted and will be given to the event cost, and to also promote further Stonewall 50 advertising and the kind of things we're doing with the money, like we're talking about. So, but I wanted to be clear, Stonewall, the tea dance is by Holy Trinity. We're not paying for that with donations, except if you make them at the event.
Well, I bet we could sit here and talk for hours, but we'll have you back, Mo. It's been great having you on the show talking about Stonewall 50. Find them on Facebook, Juno Stonewall 50 Project. Thank you so much, Taylor Shea, Mo Longworth. See them at 4 p.m. starting at McFeeters Hall this Saturday. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. And that's 4th and Gold, if anybody doesn't know where it is.
True.